Musica Con Vida presents The Horace Alderman Story.
He was running to his destination. He was running, running from the law. Living by the gun. What will be the fate of Horace Alderman?
In the 1920s and 30s, the United States experienced a wave of organized crime and gangsterism caused by the Prohibition Law that made it illegal to buy, sell, or use alcoholic drinks. But instead of stopping people, it made them seek after it even more. And this left the door wide open for the underworld of organized crime to take over the liquor trade. The gangsters got their liquor in the Bahama Islands, not far from Florida. And from there, they hid the cases in boats and smuggled them secretly into the States through the Florida Keys. The men who ran these boats were called rum runners or bootleggers. They made a lot of money in their business, but lived in constant danger of being caught by the government police, the feds as they called them, who constantly patrolled the Florida coast, searching for the bootleggers' hiding places.
This cove is so well hidden, I don't think the feds could ever spot our boat here.
Yeah, we'll be safe for a while, but they got their boys everywhere, even in planes. Gotta watch who you talk to these days.
I think that's our shipment from the Bahamas. Right on time. But let's wait for their secret signal before we wave them in. Okay, give them ours.
Boy, is Alderman gonna be happy to get this stuff. He'll make a bundle selling it up north in them fancy speakeasy clubs.
Yeah, just hope we get our fair share.
Shh, here they come.
Hey, are you Alderman's men?
Yeah.
All right, let's move fast. Take these cases to him, quick. New York's dying for this stuff. They're getting drunk, and we're getting rich.
The speakeasies were illegal nightclubs run by the bootleggers themselves. The clients were mostly upper-class, cream of society, and the owners of the clubs took great care of their safety, as they were often raided by the police.
Say, J.B., did you close that deal with Texas Oil?
Sure did, Bill. Made a tidy 50 grand in the process. Hey, let me buy you a drink. Hey, sweetheart, two whiskeys.
Here you are, gents. $10, please.
All right, here's 10 and 10 for
Ooh,
you, kiddo.
Thanks.
See you later.
Okay.
Well, Bill, here's a bigger and better deal.
What do you want, boss?
Willie, keep watching the door real close. I just got a tip off that the feds might be paying us a visit tonight. Any trouble, turn the alarm light, and the boys will have this place clean in a jiffy. Don't want our fancy clients to have to spend the night in jail. Might miss their silk sheets.
Boss, you can count on me. No feds gonna get by me so easy.
Somebody get rid of the boots!
All right, boys, grab everything.
just find out about this place.
All right, everybody, don't panic. Stay calm. Boys, put all the drinks on the bar. Okay, Joe, let him go down there.
All right. Nobody move. All right. If we find any liquor here, you're all under arrest.
If you're insinuating that we are criminals, officer, I'll have
you know...
Keep
your shirt on, mister. My men are checking this place out real good.
Sorry, Inspector. The place is clean. Looks like they were waiting for us.
Yeah, well, you think you're smart, do you? Well, I'll let you know that you're gonna get caught one of these days, and if we don't catch you, the feds will. All right, lads, back to the station.
In the northern cities of New York and Chicago, notorious gangsters such as Al Capone and John Dillinger ran the speakeasies and the liquor trade. But in Florida, a man named Horace Alderman was head of the bootlegging operation. He was such a powerful figure, his name became a legend in the Miami area.
Men, we better start tightening things up around here.
Yeah?
The feds are starting to put the heat on really bad. Not that I'm scared of no feds, that is. This here boat can beat the best they got.
Yeah, boys, they never get it. They haven't got a chance.
Well, now, wait a minute. Let's not get too cocky. You see, the feds ain't the only ones to watch out for. Mm-hmm. There's other operators around here who'd love to steal my territory. And you better believe they'd tip off the feds in a second if they knew where to find us. So, let's get smart. Let's have a double guard right now. And don't talk to nobody you ain't sure is with us.
Right.
All right?
Right.
Let's get moving. Let's get to the Bahamas fast. The stuff's waiting for us, and it's the biggest shipment yet. Hey, Skipper, start her up and head for Bimini.
Yes, sir.
But little did Alderman realize that this was to be his last run, as his enemies had disclosed his plans to the police, and they were waiting to intercept him in the Caribbean.
He was running to his destination.
Boss, there's a third gunboat coming across behind us. What should we do?
Try to lose him. Got it. Try to make it back to the secret entrance of the hideout.
Okay, slip in real quiet. Alderman, you're surrounded. Gentlemen, drop their guns. You don't have a chance.
Skip, turn this boat around fast.
Skip, man.
We've been waiting for you a long time, Alderman. But some of your friends kindly told us that this is one of your favorite vacation spots. Nice of you to drop by. All right, man, board that boat and arrest everybody. Okay, boys, drop your guns over there. Don't make a move. Put your hands up.
Hands off.
You tie them all up. Leave Alderman for me.
Hey, what are you going to do with those ice picks?
You're going to see what we do with these ice picks.
What are you doing?
Men, lay them down. That's it. That's right. We're going to nail you down and maybe keep you till we get to Miami.
Hey, you put those to my...
That's where they'll do the most good.
Okay,
enjoy the rest of our come on. All right, men, we're going to go down below. Let's go. We've got him. We'll go down and celebrate and have a little party. Too bad you can't come with us, all of them. Thanks for the booze.
Well, men, here's the promotions that we're going to get for bringing in all of them.
Yeah, we'll drink to that.
Got one of those picks on me. Just a couple. Free. I'll go down there and make those feds sorry they ever mess with me. Another one. One more. Okay. There it goes. Let's see if I can get up. If only I had a gun. Okay. I can only get the door open. Get down there so they don't hear me. Just a few steps down. There's a gun belt by the door. If I'm careful, I can grab it before they see me. Just a little.
Hey,
Solomon, get away! Get him!
Here, hold him! I got him! Get him down! Put him down, you got him! Got him down!
Get him! Look, he killed three of our men.
If we wounded him, he's really gonna pay for this.
Yeah, let's get back to Miami fast.
Wounded and beaten, Horace Alderman was brought to the Miami jail to await trial. The authorities were so fearful that his gang would try to help him escape that they put him in a top security cell. All day he yelled and cursed the police and wouldn't see anyone. Until one day, an unexpected visitor arrived. It was a Mr. Fred Haas, who was working with a prominent Miami church.
Good morning, Mr. Haas.
Good morning, Morton.
Who'd you come to see today?
Actually, I'm here on behalf of Mrs. Alderman and her children. The minister asked me to come...
Oh, you can stop right there. You can't see Alderman. He's locked up so tight, nobody can get near him. He doesn't want to see anyone anyway.
But, Warden, the minister asked me to bring him God's word, and his family's been praying for him. Please give me a chance.
You must be joking. You want to talk to Alderman about God? He'd never listen to you. He hates God. He doesn't want anything to do with religion or church people. You're wasting your time.
Well, just ask him if he'll see me, then. Tell him I've got word from his wife and the kids, and the minister sent this letter
Okay, I'll ask him, but don't count on it.
Oh, Lord, please give me a chance to see this man today. Give me the grace, Lord, to bring your word to him. Open this door, Jesus, and give me your love and wisdom in Jesus' name.
Well, Fred, I don't understand it, but... Well, come on, he says he'll see you, so come on, follow me.
Wait and see.
Horse, here's that man from the church to see you. You got 10 minutes, no more.
Well, well. So a preacher man comes to see me. Welcome to the hotel. Ha! Hey, what you got in that pot, preacher?
This is some soup your wife fixed for your breakfast. Here.
Oh, soup, huh? Like to try some of it, too? Here! Listen to me, preacher. I don't need your soup or your church or your God, you hear? Your God never did nothing for me. Whatever I'd done it with my own two hands and my gun. And if I had that with me now, you'd be a dead duck and I'd be out of here.
Look, I know you're real mad at everything and I can't blame you, but listen a minute, please. Your wife and kids love you and they pray for you every
pray?
Day.
Listen to me, preacher. No prayer is going to ever help me now. I run millions in booze, and I just killed three feds. Three feds, you know what that means? What kind of prayer is going to help me now?
Okay, sorry, time's up.
If I can come back to see you, I'll tell you what kind of prayer can help you.
Yeah, okay, sure, preacher. Come on back. Bring more soup, okay? Maybe a couple of girls.
Well, looks like you enjoyed your breakfast. Guess that's the last time you'll want to see Alderman, eh?
No, actually, I'll be back tomorrow morning. Good day, Warden.
Fred Haas continued to see Horace frequently, and as time went on, a friendship grew between them, as Fred's genuine concern and love won Horace's trust. And one day, something miraculous happened.
Well, hello, Fred.
Hello, Horace. How are you?
You know, I'm almost looking forward to your visits these days. Nobody seems to give a damn about me anymore.
Well,
Fred, I don't know. You got me thinking about things too much. Like, for example, how could anyone forgive? You know, you're always talking about forgive and stuff and how God forgives us, but how can anyone forgive the bad things I've done? I mean, those feds, they ain't the first men I've killed, you know.
Well.
And anyway, people always told me I was bad. Wasn't any hope. Since I was a kid, they told me that. Even, you know, I can still remember my old preacher telling me that. Told me I'd burn in hell. You know, Fred, you're a nice guy, but I think you're wasting your time on me.
Horace, Did you know the Bible's full of characters a lot worse than you are? And God loved every one of them.
Oh, yeah?
Have you heard of King David?
Well,
God said he was a man after his own heart. But he had a man killed just so he could get his hands on his beautiful wife.
Oh, he did?
And Paul's job was to kill Christians. Jailed them and killed them by the hundreds. Till Jesus stopped him cold in his tracks on the road to Damascus and made him into his chief apostle.
Well, yeah, maybe then.
And what did Jesus say on the cross? He asked God to forgive the men who were nailing him to it. Forgive them, because he loved them, and he loves you, too.
Well, come on, but I ain't no good, Fred.
Good? A rich man came up to Jesus and said, "Good master, how can I inherit eternal life?" You know what he said? Jesus said, "Why are you calling me good? Only God is good."
Yeah, but, I mean, how do I fit into that?
I'll tell you how. Because the Bible says, "For God so loved the world," that means you, you're part of it.
Yeah.
"That he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, not die ever, but have everlasting life." Don't you want it?
All I gotta do is believe?
That's right.
Well, but how? I mean...
Horace, just talk to him. Ask him. He's right here with us. He's knocking on your heart's door right now, asking to come in. You just need to let him. Can you pray this with me?
I ain't never prayed in my life, Fred.
Just try it. Jesus, please come into my heart.
Okay. Jesus, please come into my heart.
I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me.
I believe what Fred says, that you're the Son of God and that you died for me.
Please forgive me for all my sins and come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Please forgive me for all of my sins and come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Inspired by this new spirit of love which had entered and changed him, Horace wanted to share this joy with everyone. And when he was transferred to the federal penitentiary in Jacksonville, he began to have a tremendous impact on everyone there.
Hey, well, yeah, look at this. Huh? Penn's made the papers. Religious revival in federal pen. What it says? Horace Alderman now pushing the Bible instead of booze. Turning the Jacksonville pen upside down.
That's a
should have said right side up.
Hey, here he is now.
Hey, hello, guys.
Hey, Alderman.
That's some article, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, didn't y'all want to talk about something today?
Yeah, Horace, I'll be getting out soon. But I don't know if I can go straight. I just want to keep out of trouble.
Well, friend, all of you, listen. You're not going to get anywhere without Jesus. If you just look to him and don't worry about what you were before, well, he won't fail you. Forget about yourself and put him and others first, and he'll take care of you.
Hey, Alderman, I'm doing 20 to life for murder. You think there's hope for me?
Well, if there's hope for me, there's hope for anybody. Listen, remember this. It doesn't matter what you've done. God will forgive you if you ask him to. He loves us all. You can't be too bad for Jesus. Only too good. If you think you're so hot, you don't need him, then you got real trouble. Jesus can set you free. And I'm talking about freer than you could even be on the outside.
Yeah, you don't see.
Who here? Any mass Jesus into their heart yet, huh?
Me, I want to.
Oh, yeah? How about you?
Yeah.
Well, listen, let me tell you something. Why don't y'all come up here closer and say this prayer with me? Now, I know a lot of you probably never have prayed before or something, but I prayed this prayer once, and it changed my life. So, here, pray it with me. Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
And forgive all the wrong things I've done.
Forgive all the wrong things I've done.
And give me eternal life.
Finally, the day of the trial arrived. Tension was high in the courtroom as Horace Alderman's fate was being decided.
Order in the court. Would the district and defense attorneys please approach the bench to make their final statements?
Your Honor, as district attorney, I ask that this man be found guilty due to the enormous amount of evidence that we have against him, and that no mercy be shown him in regards to sentencing.
Your Honor, the defense rests its case. We stand only on the fact that Mr. Alderman is a new, changed man, a life transformed by God's power. If acquitted, Your Honor, This man will be a credit to society.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the decision is in your hands. After considering all the concrete evidence, what is your verdict?
Your Honor.
Accused. Guilty.
Would the accused rise? Horace Alderman, considering the gravity of your crimes, I sentence you to death by hanging.
Well, that's just what he deserves. He killed my husband, and he should die now. Just a no-good gangster.
But the Lord's given him a new heart, lady. He's changed.
Well, the Bible says an eye for an eye. He's got religion now. He should know that. He's getting what he deserves.
Alderman took the guilty verdict calmly. But friends of his, led by a prominent Miami minister, launched an appeal that went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Your Honor, I'm appealing to you from my heart to please pardon this man. He's had a remarkable conversion. Just look how he's helping all those prisoners to leave their lives of crime.
Ma'am, I'm afraid there are some factors you're just not considering. Alderman's been one of the country's most wanted men. And the families of the men he killed have a lot of political influence.
But...
I'm sorry, if it was anyone else but this man, maybe. But Alderman, whew, it's impossible. We would do it, but we feel we just can't. If we let this man go, we'll never hear the end of it.
Your Honor, please.
Ma'am, please. If I pardon him, it would cost me my job. If it's not his neck, it would be mine.
Well, then excuse me, sir, for taking your time. Good day.
The appeal having failed, Horace was sent to the Fort Lauderdale prison to be executed. But even on death row, he didn't stop helping and loving those around him. Even the warden and the guards felt saddened when the fateful day arrived. But when Fred Haas came to see him for the last time, he found him happy and at peace, almost radiant. Horace, God bless you. How are you feeling?
Fred, I've got real peace in my heart. Real peace. They can't take that from me. Only this tired, worn-out old body.
Well, the warden wants to know if you have any last request. You've really won him and his men through your love. They'd like to do something for you.
You know, Fred, I'd love to go hearing one of my favorite hymns. Could they sing one for me?
Why, sure.
God, there's no need for those chains, son. I'll come with you quietly.
The dying king rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though marvelous, see, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all.
Today's my coronation day, Fred. I'm going to go see Jesus before you do.
So you see, it doesn't matter who you are. The Lord can save anybody, including murderers, and turn them into real witnesses for the Lord. Whatever he had done with all his heart. When he was a criminal, he was 100% criminal. But after being won to the Lord, he was 100% for the Lord. So the moral of this story is, never take no for an answer. Where there's a will, there's a way, and nothing is too hard for the Lord. With man it's impossible, but with God nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible to him that believeth. The Lord can do anything if you'll just give him a chance.